بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الشارف ابو يوسف الشيخ عارف بالله رومي وقت الشاه كيم محمد اختصر بدام الله رحمه الله تعالى عليه نبر الله مرقده. اس کا ٹائٹل اس تب وہ سمجھے میری بے کلی کو تب وہ سمجھے میری بے کلی کو جب لگائی ہے دل کی لگی کو تب وہ سمجھے میری یہ دل کی کلی کو جب لگائی ہے دل کی لگی کو تب وہ سمجھے میری بے کلی کو نیند غائب ہے اور چشم تر ہے نیند غائب ہے اور چشم تر ہے عشق سمجھے تھے وہ دل لگی کو عشق سمجھے تھے وہ دل لگی کو قیس نے جس سے پائی تھی لیلا قیس نے جس سے پائی تھی لیلا چومتا تھا کبھی اس گلی کو چومتا تھا کبھی اس گلی کو جب لگائی ہے دل کی لگی کو تب وہ سمجھے میری بے کلی کو سمجھو عکسِ کفے پائے احمد عرضِ طیبہ کی ہر گلی کو کیوں نہ چومے بسد شوق مومن کیوں نہ چومے بسد شوق مومن ان کی نگری کی ہر گلی کو ان کی نگری کی ہر گلی کو جب لگائی ہے دل کی لگی کو تب وہ سمجھے میری بے کلی کو اپنی یادوں کے صدقے میں اختر اپنی یادوں کے صدقے میں اختر دل لگی کر دیا بے کلی کو دل لگی کر دیا بے کلی کو قیس نے جس سے پائی تھی لیلا چومتا تھا کبھی اس گلی کو چار سو ان کی نسبت کی خوشبو کیا ہوا ہے یہ دل کی گلی کو کیا ہوا ہے یہ دل کی کلی کو جب لگائی ہے دل کی لگی کو تب وہ سمجھے میری بے کلی کو سمجھو عکسِ کفے پائے احمد عرضِ طیبہ کی ہر گلی کو تب وہ سمجھے میری بے کلی کو
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمد و نصلی علی رسول کریم regarding the share that was most beautifully read the wording was quite difficult to understand completely but the crux of the whole thing is that Arif of Allah is saying that when the prick hits the heart then only that man will understand then what is the adab and the actions and why a person is parishan in love so when he gets knocked either the prick of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prick of the love of Allah and that person will understand what it is that what a person is talking about all these issues of love may Allah tabarak ta'ala prick us all with that Hazrat would normally mention the thorn must go in it must break also so there's no way you can pull it out but has come to my heart to speak about in this few minutes something we have been discussing in the last few days after the Fajr Salah so a few points that were mentioned and some people found benefit so it has come that repeat this may Allah tawarakula make it beneficial to one and all someone benefits our akhirah gets made Allah tabarak wa ta'ala creates reality in our words. So in Hazrat Munana's absence, the thought came of Surah Yusuf, because we were discussing it in class. We have something to speak about, so normally whatever we're making mutala at that time is discussed. So a few lessons of Surah Yusuf were given, and people found it, and Quran is Quran in the end of the day. So a unique thing of Surah Yusuf is Almighty Allah says the whole Quran is lesson, but in Surah Yusuf Almighty Allah makes it like a highlight. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٍ. This is not just a story this year, in this there's lessons, unique lessons. So a few of those lessons in this quick time that we will go through is, the first is the issue of dreams. Whoever will understand Surah Yusuf will understand from the beginning till the ending, it's all about dreams. Yusuf alayhi salam has a dream that the sun, the moon, stars are making sajda. Yaqub alayhi salam also has a dream, although it's not mentioned in Surah Yusuf, that the wolves are attacking his son. Later on, Yusuf alayhi salam will be in the present, those people will come with their dreams. We all know the incident. One person has a dream where he's carrying something on his head and the birds are eating from it. Another person has a dream, he's squeezing that liquor, he's squeezing the juice for the king. So it's a dream. And thereafter the king has a dream, he sees the fat cows, the ten cows. Ten cows are eating the fat cows. So the entire issue of Yusuf alayhi salam was a dream. Dream from the beginning, dream till the ending. Regarding dreams, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught that in this ummah, every door of the knowledge of the unseen has been closed. In the past it used to be open, and Anbiya alayhi salam themselves at times taught people this. Example, you would throw stones and in the movement of the stones you could sometimes tell the fortune of a person. So the knowledge of the unseen was opened throughout. But in this ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam closed all those doors, saying it has some reality. For some reason he closed it. One very important reason was that the true, or the closest you will get to this knowledge in today's time will be through the jinn. And to get to that knowledge, the jinn will obviously give if you also give back. So your iman will be sold if you want to find out what's going to happen in 5 years' time. So he would explain, don't go to a fortune teller, because he might hit it on the spot, but your iman is gone. Man will get thrilled. How do you know that? I want to also know. You'll start learning it. The jinn will give as long as you give back. So every door of the knowledge of the unseen was closed except one door. And that is called the door of dreams. In the door of dreams, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, now nubuwa is closed. Nubuwa means the knowledge of the unseen. Naba'ul ghaib. He says, now the only thing left of nubuwa, of wahi, wahi is the knowledge of the unseen, is dreams. A dream, either you will see it or it will be seen for you. So he explained dreams. He opened it up. And then Sahaba radiallahu anhu would be made to understand what is dreams, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day would sit after the salah. Now and then he'd say, who saw a dream? Had a dream been a small thing, you wouldn't be making that the after Fajr majlis. Who saw a dream? Sometimes it would be good dreams, sometimes it would be scary dreams. Sometimes it would be a dream showing defeat for the ummah at a certain time. Defeat in the battle. Different dreams were seen by different people. And interpretations were given. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would interpret. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, can I interpret? Somebody else would interpret. And like this, principles of interpretation were also given. But in the entire thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam summarized the dreams in this manner. And he explained that in your dream, one of three things is going to happen. And when those one of three things happen, then you must know how to take benefit from the dream. So the first thing to understand is every dream has some meaning. Every single dream. Because a dream is the soul's journey into the future. So when that soul makes a journey into the future, many a time you'll wake up, you saw no dream, your soul did go in the future, but like how you came for a bayan example. So you come for the bayan, you sit, but because you weren't looking for something, when you'll go home, your wife will say, what you heard, you say, yeah, I can't remember. Not that nothing was said, but you never took notice because it wasn't bothering you. So majority of the time, you will sleep without your soul even remembering what happened. Otherwise your soul makes a journey. Then there will be times when your soul will make a journey, and something you were thinking of during the day.
Because you were thinking of it, what people call istikhara. Someone made istikhara, he's saying, oh Allah, I don't know what to do. And istikhara doesn't mean asking for a dream. This is man's misunderstanding. That when I make istikhara, I must see a dream. But Almighty Allah deals with man according to expectations. So many a time the person, he made the istikhara, he's supposed to go ahead now. Because istikhara means, oh Allah, if there's good, let it happen. So carry on now. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to make the dua of istikhara like Surah Fatiha. Every decision, istikhara and carry on. They wouldn't wait now for 2 nights, 3 nights, 7 nights. Because istikhara meant, oh Allah, put good in it if there's good. And if there's no good, let it not happen, finish. And then they were told, make mashwara. So you pick up the phone, you say, what you think about this? Good deal, right? Mashwara, istikhara. And then you were told by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that man will never see problems. Again, what he meant will never see problems, this world is full of problems. You can never come out without a prick. But what it means when you get pricked, you won't scream. You will be able to manage. Because you'll always say that there is definitely good in it, because my dua was, oh Allah, if there's good, let it happen. So there's good, you won't fall in depression. And you said, I made mashwara, my Nabi said, if you make mashwara, that's exactly how it's wanted. So you're happy. Man will never fall in depression. But what we think in the meaning of the hadith, you'll never see a problem. So example, a girl makes the dua of istikhara, whether she sees a dream or not. Boy makes the dua of istikhara, he sees a dream or not. Sometimes they see a very good dream. They get married, they made mashwara, they get married, and it doesn't work. When it doesn't work, suddenly now boy and girl both saying, now what happened? My istikhara was wrong. So you can't get a wrong istikhara. Because istikhara means, oh Allah, if there's some good in it, let it happen. Your mind must now be that the fact that my Allah made it happen means that definitely there had to be some good in this. That's all. So if someone says, what happens? You will say, taqdeer. That my Allah wanted it to happen, there was good in it, that good was realized. What's the good? That's not for me to worry about. Maybe one child was born, one day he's going to change the whole humanity. But I'll never fall in depression. Why? Because I know that there's definitely some good in it, although I can't see it at the moment. But now that person is waiting for a dream because he thought about it during the day. Oh, example, a sahabi heard we have to call the people to salah. So what's the method? So he's thinking about it. How to give a call. Something you're thinking about, you go, you want to make a business deal, you're thinking about it. A lot of things we think about during the day. So now when your soul will make its journey into the unseen, into the future, into the world of mithal, where realities are being put in a different form. So as your soul moves around like an aeroplane and it starts looking, sometimes it spots that position what you were thinking about. When it spots it, it focuses. And it tries to get an understanding of what you were looking for. So that was called, sometimes in your dream you will see what you were thinking of during the days. Does it have a meaning or not? It has to have a meaning. That's why the dream, the soul saw it there. Exactly what the soul will see now, it will never understand properly, because that is a world where things are not clear cut. But some indication will be shown. One, some indication will be shown. And just now we'll come to why did Almighty Allah make it like this? Yeah? That you can go into the unseen and see. So you got an indication. Thereafter, shaitan is man's enemy. He's never going to leave man. So even when man is sleeping, shaitan will still come and irritate. So when that soul is sometimes making journeys and looking for what it wants, you'll get shaitan also. And shaitan will direct the soul to look at something else. Say, look there at that. And he will make the soul also look at a reality, not a lie. The soul will also look at some other reality, but through the command of Allah, shaitan is allowed to sometimes direct the soul's attention to a place where the soul, if he had missed it, would have been better. Because now the soul looks at that and is looking, looking, and in that he sees, example, someone's going to die. Now people are reading Quran, there's a khatam taking place. That soul's worrying, worrying, and shaitan is, which is called takhwifu shaitan. That shaitan wants you to become scared. Again, that thing got reality. The soul saw it. Someone has to die. Because whether you saw it in your dream or not, people have to die in the world. You don't need a cat to cry to make someone die. You don't need to see a dream. If granny has to pass away, she'll pass away whether you had the dream or not. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now gave a guideline. He said, when shaitan will focus your attention to that scary part, and you will see a khatam taking place. And you wake up that night and you worry it, and your wife says, what's wrong? And the first thing is, don't mention it. The reason when you're going to mention it, and the next morning your wife is going to say, I think daddy is going to pass away. So you phone your wife. Daddy is not passing away now. He could be passing away after 5 years, could be 10 years. All it was that shaitan directed your attention to make you scared. See? Otherwise when it happens, it's going to happen, isn't it? When daddy passes away, everyone, inna lillah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the dream you see, don't narrate it to every person. Because what's going to happen, if you're going to narrate it, what shaitan wanted to happen is going to happen. So a lot of people, what they think this means is that daddy will pass away. Daddy has to pass away. But what shaitan wanted to happen is, from today you will kill daddy. You will phone and you will tell your sister, you know what, I think she's going. Now the sister will phone, you say, my husband had a dream, you're on your way out, better start preparing. Daddy now is well, all of a sudden next day she got fever. Because she heard, she still was going to pass away after 1.5 years. Dreams don't change life. But for 1.5 years, daddy is going to be dead. Until she dies. And when she dies, everyone says, you see, the dream was right. So I said, don't fall for shaitan's trick. What's going to happen, happen. The most you do, wake up, spit, toh. In that spit, what you're telling shaitan, you're not in charge of taqdeer. My Allah is in charge of it. You can't make me scared. I am ready to see life as life comes. You can't make me scared. Get out, toh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dream can't harm you. The dream can't harm you again, never mean daddy can't pass away. Daddy has to pass away. But the dream mustn't harm. You must be positive in life. So shaitan will direct you towards realities also. But his job is to make you scared. Almighty Allah, why does he allow the soul to sometimes see that scary thing? Although shaitan wants to make you scared, so the hadith said, don't become scared. Almighty Allah wants you to become prepared, not scared. Prepared, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understands that tomorrow is the battle of Uhud. Battle of Badr was won outright. So Sahaba radiallahu anh do not understand something called defeat. Because they understand we are on haq now, there is no way, angels are coming down. If we were only a small amount and we defeated a huge enemy tomorrow, there's no question. Had the battle of Uhud been fought without them being prepared to see a defeat, a lot of them would have been shocked more than what they did get shocked. Before the battle, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepares them. He says, I had a dream. And in the dream I saw, and he explains, I saw things that shown that there will be martyrs tomorrow. A lot of martyrs. So after it happened, in every sahabi, it was in his mind that Allah already told us. We prepared for it in the end. That we already shown. Now if you see example is going to be a car accident, you don't wake up and telling people, hey, don't drive now. Any day the accident can take place. Rather be prepared. The hadith is that the dream is telling you, although shaitan wanted you to become scared, Allah wants man to be positive. Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ilallah min al-mu'mini al-da'if. Qawiyya and da'if. Qawi means a man who's strong of faith, not strong of muscle. And then you get another believer who's weak little. He gets scared very fast. It's mentioned a man who's strong. He's much more closer to his creator than the one who's weak. Both got khair in the ending. Both got good. But Allah wants to see a man who's not scared of shaitan. In the manner that shaitan wants to scare you. He said, I believe in my Allah. But what it is, be prepared. So you saw a car accident. Don't get scared now there's going to be an accident. Give some sadaqah. Make them dua. And at the same time say, why did my Allah show me death? Everyone has to die. But the reason why he showed me death is telling me, oh my servant, you're not prepared to die. Maybe your will is not right at the moment. You might die. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the battle of Uhud, passed away about 8 years later. But in the battle of Uhud, the news spread that he had passed away. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu went in a panic. And verses of Quran came down to explain that what would have happened if the Nabi of Allah had to pass away. What was the purpose of that whole thing? The purpose was to prepare them that 8 years down the line when it really happens, you were already prepared from beforehand. So, and although they took it like a knock death time, but they were prepared. The verses had already come. Those that were close had seen what it meant. They had understood it. Abu Bakr could stand up and say, "This verse is there." وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. We were told at the beginning. So when you see a scary dream, the purpose is not to become scared. That's what shaitan wants. So a lot of people, one, we understand a scary dream got no meaning. It's not like that. And another one we understand is, you must become scared with a scary dream. It's also not like that. And another one we understand, if you don't tell anyone your scary dream, it can't happen. It's also not like that. Whatever is going to happen, the dreams are going to make it happen. But don't let the dream finish you. That's what the hadith mentioned. The dream will not harm you one bit. Taqdeer is going to happen. You are being told, prepare for it. So sometimes what you think of during the day, Almighty Allah shows you in your dreams to tell you, to give you indication. And sometimes it comes in the form of a scary which has been attributed to shaitan. That he wants to scare you, Almighty Allah wants to prepare you. Get prepared. And then there's a third type of dreams which you weren't thinking of that thing during the day. Neither did you wake up scared, so you know even shaitan wasn't directing your attention. Look at that, look at that. You just see a unique dream and you remember everything, the details of it. And everything is looking funny. And that morning when you wake up, it's like they're vivid in front of you. I remember this dream. That dream had no relationship with what you were thinking of during the day. Neither is a relationship where you can say, I know shaitan was also directing me to make me scared. So that dream in the hadith has come, that dream, understand it, is direct from Rahman. The other true dreams are also from Allah. But this dream got a direct link, meaning there's no relationship with anybody else. In that dream, Almighty Allah also wanted to show a unique thing to man. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's dream was of this kind. But suddenly he wakes up, and what a dream! Sun, moon, stars making sajda. That's a dream. What a dream! What is the purpose of the dream? The purpose of the dream was that you are going to see difficulties in life from a young age to an old age. And throughout, whenever you are going through that difficulty, you're going to be separated from your father. You are going to be put in the bottom of the well. You are going to be taken as a slave. You are going to have to work in a house, and then you're going to find the woman of the house is acting very nasty towards you because you're not giving in. Then you are going to be wrongly accused and go to prison. Years and years you will never see your family. But throughout all that difficult times, remember this one dream. This dream will keep you always. You will always think, something my Allah had showed me at that time, it's going to happen one day. And when it happened, the first thing Yusuf alayhi salam says to his father, "Oh my father, this is the dream I had seen years ago." Meaning that dream was always in his mind. No matter what problem. So a lot of times dreams is bushra. Bushra means a glad tiding for a believer. Now why does a believer need glad tidings? A believer need glad, Quran comes, glad tidings for the believers. But when it comes, when it tells him, "Oh believers, you'll have to make a lot of sabr." And in this world you'll have to make a lot of sabr, give glad tidings to those ready to make sabr. Whenever you see a dream, remember that dream, that my Allah is showing me something. That dream will either be preparing you for life, because in life problems are going to come, you can't run away. But my Allah worried about me so much, He put that dream, He showed me. Or my Allah wants me to change the direction of my life. So what a dream I saw. I saw an alim in the dream. It's just how many non-Muslims accepted Islam because of a dream. In the dream they saw a certain man looking country to country until their eye, this is the man. How many fasiqs became salih because of a dream? Either they saw a pious man in the dream, or something they saw which made them confused and they landed up by a pious man. Almighty Allah through dreams has introduced man to the world of the unseen. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ مِنْ لَيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. From the signs of your creator is the dreams you see. Meet a non-Muslim, an atheist, tell him, "Do you believe in life?" "No." Ask him, "You see dreams. Do dreams ever bother you, worry you? Do you wonder what's happening? Where you think you're going in the dream? Do you know there are other worlds besides this world?" That you speak already, that man starts listening. Because everyone sees dreams. And in dreams, many people's lives open up. So Yusuf alayhi salam's entire story revolved around a dream. The beginning dream and moving through dreams. The second issue that Surah Yusuf made clear about a dream is that a dream will not affect your taqdeer. So when those two people came to Yusuf alayhi salam, and the one person said, I saw a box on my head and birds were eating and biting my brains out. And the other one said, I saw I was squeezing grapes. So Yusuf alayhi salam said to the one that, you know, you're going to be found guilty of trying to poison the king. That's what they were in prison for. And you will be hung and the birds will come and they will tear out your brains. And the other, he said, you're going to be lucky, they'll find you innocent, you go back and your job is to make the drink for the king, you carry on. So automatically you'll see on the one person's face happiness, and the other person you'll feel that he's unhappy. That why I must die, but he was in the ending responsible for it. So Yusuf alayhi salam told him, my friend, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرَ أَلَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَ, that the matter you came to ask, that was already decided by Almighty Allah. My interpreting it never kill you. Had you not come in 3 days' time, you were still going to be killed. And you were still going to. But what is the purpose of those two people's dreams? One was Yusuf alayhi salam was one day going to get a standing by the king. That man will say, you know, there's one man who knows dreams. But what benefit it gave those two people who saw dreams? So Mufassirin will explain the dream brought them to Yusuf alayhi salam. And when they came, he gave them an open da'wah towards Islam. And Mufassirin explained both of them accepted Islam. The maqsad of their dream was he was going to die in the end. But the dream brought them to a Nabi at the last part of their life and da'wah was given. Later on, the king of Egypt will also see a dream. Mufassirin explained his dream also resulted in the whole Egypt benefiting. But he also accepted Iman on the hands of Yusuf alayhi salam. So a dream has a lot of khair in it. Man's mind must be, when you wake up and you see something, then understand, my Allah is talking to me. And what a loving Allah. That when I'm awake, His attention is towards me. When I sleep also, He wants to guide me. A lot of people have taken dreams as a very small thing. 1/40th of nubuwwat is your dream. What is that 1/40th of nubuwa? A lot of meanings, one main meaning for us, but 1/40th. What is that? We know that nubuwa is wahi. Quran is your wahi. Read Quran from the beginning till ending, my Allah is talking, my Allah is talking. And then it was told that now when Quran is 100% nubuwa, there will be a time when you will go to sleep and that one door will also be open. Where revelation will be coming to you in a unique manner. That your Allah will be talking to you at that time also. So when that talk takes place, listen to it. You might not understand everything, but a lot of guidance is taken from dreams. A lot of fasiqs change their life when they write a dream to an alim. So this is the law of dreams. Regarding the interpretation of dream, you don't always need to go to an alim. You can, the hadith mentioned it clearly, if you go see a dream, go to a man who got Salah. The purpose is he might not interpret your dream, but the dream will take you into a suhbat. He might not interpret the dream in it. He might say, very good dream. Or he might say, you know what, give some sadaqah. But you came to his presence. The presence of that man is going to start changing your life. That dream will bring you, because Almighty Allah is sending. So when you see a dream, take some indication. What my Allah is talking to me. What a thing. That day I did a guna, that night I had a dream. Soon as you wake up, immediately astaghfirullah. Allah sent me a message. I don't understand the message. I don't need the interpretation. But I understood my Allah, like example, you're in a majlis. And did someone, you know that the sheikh got news of you doing something. So the sheikh doesn't have to mention it openly. He'll just look. And he'll look like a sheikh. And he'll look away. There and there you'll make tawbah. That is a dream from Almighty Allah's side. That one look at his servant. That servant, that night he'll wake up and immediately say, oh Allah, sorry. That is the love that Allah got. That in your dream, that indication will follow. When you awake, Allah is guiding you. When you're sleeping, Allah says, I'm still moving. Somewhere or the other, I will find you. So this is Yusuf alayhi salam. Thereafter, when the time came where Yusuf alayhi salam now, so that was one lesson about dreams, and it's a unique thing. Understand it well and you will see you will enjoy sleeping after a while. Every time you, what I mention is you don't need interpretation. If you get an interpretation, it's unique. Sometimes it thrills you also, but you don't need the interpretation. Because a lot of times, messages of love is understood between the two parties. A message is understood, you must understand your dream. My Allah is telling me, a lot of times people write what this means. So we will write that we don't know your whole life. You know your life. So you must think, what is my Creator trying to tell me, instead of me trying to work out what is the message of love. You must work it out. All you have to do is, hey, that day I did a guna. You don't need an alim to ask you, did you do some guna? You say no. Did you do this? You say no. You might have done it, you might not have. You're not going to say it. It's a message of love between a lover and a beloved. You work out your interpretation. You don't have to mention it to people. And if you have to mention it, it's troubling you, then the hadith said, go to a man of salah. Because the dream will want you to be directed towards deen. Allah wants you to go somewhere. Then he might give you an interpretation, and when they would give unique interpretations. Because this is such a fun, when Almighty Allah opens up sometimes to a person the meaning of a dream that leaves the other man baffled. Wah! That's what happened. When that man heard Yusuf alayhi salam's interpretation, he was shocked. He said, Ayyuha Siddiq. This man hit it 100%. And when the king had a dream and Yusuf alayhi salam gave it, he was shocked. He said, bring that man to me. So you don't always have to get, but sometimes when you get it, Almighty Allah puts it in the mind of a very pious man sometimes. And that interpretation shocks you to such an extent that you become ashik of the man after that. But as I told you, interpreting dreams is not a condition of the man being pious. Meaning it's not a sign that this is a pious man, he has to interpret dreams. It's a love message. But sometimes Almighty Allah, to open your life, puts an interpretation. And unique interpretations. Allama Ibn Sirin Rahimullah was one man of the Sfan. So some of his interpretations have been written down just to understand. It's a unique world. But in the end of the day, it's a thing of love. So one man came to him and he said that I had a dream that there was like fire burning. There was fire burning under my bed. So he told the person, very good, go home quickly and dig. Dig under your bed. He dug, he found there was gold. And then a while later somebody else came. Now if you were a student, you said, I got that interpretation, I wrote it down. Another man came, he said, I had a fire, so the student would jump up. He said, I know it. Lucky he never jumped up. But so Allama Ibn Sirin said, you know what? I think you'd rather quickly go out of the house. Quickly. Everyone, take everyone and go somewhere else. And within a few days, that whole house came down, it burnt. The house came down. So maybe someone noticed the two, so they asked him that this is like, same dream. So he said, it had to do with seasons. But again, Allah puts it. There's no real principle in this. In the heart it was put at that time. He said, because the one man saw the dream in summer. And in summer, heat doesn't benefit anyone. Fire. It harms people. So he saw it in summer. I told him, you know what? It seems problems are coming away. So you rather move out of your house. And that whole house was burned down. But the dream saved him in the end. And it would make him an ashik of this man. And the other man, he said he saw it in winter. In winter, fire helps everyone. So I understood, under his bed, there's something that's very beneficial. So just go dig. He dug gold. Again, he never go for the gold. The dream brought him to Ibn Sirin. Made him an ashik of the man. Dreams are not meant to make you rich. Dreams are meant that indication from your Allah, come back to your Creator. So Almighty Allah will sometimes send you. It's troubling. You go to an alim, then understand that my Allah wanted me to reach this alim. Not the interpretation in the end of the day. You must reach that alim and then benefit from the alim. So that was one lesson of Yusuf alayhi salam. Another lesson that comes in the incident, because there's no time now, just jumping. When the brothers told Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam that, you know what, we go for like a loaf, picnic. Every Sundays we're going out, we enjoy our life, we go out, not Sundays, meaning they would go out. They needed Yusuf alayhi salam because they had a plan, get rid of the boy. Yaqub alayhi salam had seen his dream also, but as I told you, you can't change taqdeer. How Allah wants it. That dream prepared Yaqub alayhi salam. That in the dream he saw wolves coming for Yusuf alayhi salam, but he never see them devouring him. Because of that, he was prepared throughout his life. He would always cry for Yusuf alayhi salam. The brothers say, are you mad? He's gone. That one dream would tell him, no, I think he's alive, sir. That the wolves came, but they never bit. So that one dream would prepare him. Things are going to happen. Get ready for it. And Yusuf alayhi salam's dream, where he told, you know what, my son, Allah got big things in store for the family of Yaqub. Then two dreams would keep him going till the ending. Crying on his musalla, Allah, when is the day? When is the day? And a time came where he told his sons, I think now the day has come. Go look for that boy. So the dream kept him moving. So when those brothers came to Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and they told him, we go out, we enjoy, why don't you tell daddy that he must send you out? So Yusuf alayhi salam was a young boy. So he went to Yaqub alayhi salam and said, daddy, please send me. There's so much of enjoyment on the side. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعْنَا غَدًا يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. He'll enjoy his life. Yusuf alayhi salam said, why you want to stop me, daddy? So in that one lesson was given, that many a time you might not understand why your Allah stopped you from certain things. Like how Yusuf alayhi salam never understood why Yaqub alayhi salam never wanted him to go. But as soon as Yusuf alayhi salam left his house, and he came out of that protected garden, and he was now in the hands of his brothers, at that time he screamed, Yaqub, oh my father, but now you out. Now you will say, hey, I knew why my father wanted me at home. A lot of times Almighty Allah doesn't let certain things happen in your life. And your dua is, oh Allah, make it happen. So there's nothing wrong with making dua. You have to carry on begging of Allah. That is called dua. The unique thing of a dua is when Allah listens to a dua, not when Allah fulfills the dua. The listening. But sometimes you're making dua for something years and years and you're not seeing it happening. So your condition is the condition of Yusuf alayhi salam. That you're saying, just outside the house, oh my daddy, there's so much of enjoyment. And the father is saying that, you know, just stay in the house. It's not for you. So when you don't see the dua, carry on making the dua. But as long as your father doesn't allow you to go out, be happy to be in. And the day when it happened, then be happy that now is the right time to go. Before this was not the right time. There will be certain du'as which will never be realized in your life. Never. Understand that that was never ever going to be good for you. Thereafter when they took Yusuf alayhi salam, now we all know whatever they did to him, but finally they put him in the well. And the intention was never to kill him, so they would put him nicely in the well, and then they all said that now we will wait every day, one caravan will go, we will try, someone will find him, they'll take him away. And finally one day someone found him. And they even went up to the caravan, they said, you know, this man is like a runaway slave, we don't want him also, and just pay some money, and they sold him. But when they came back to Yaqub alayhi salam, obviously what's going to happen? You have to come back with some sad story. Hey daddy, what happened? But Quran only mentions things for some purpose. I mean, obviously they were going to do that. That wasn't a thing Quran had to mention, they came home crying. That wasn't a thing to him, that's obvious. But Quran mentions it, because Quran is for right till end. In this Quran describes the manner they came to Yaqub alayhi salam, and the manner that Yaqub alayhi salam reacted. So Quran will say, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءِ يَبْكُونَ. That now late at night now, all day they stayed away, because now it's become like drama, what we call. All day we're looking for Yusuf, we're looking for him, now it's dark. So as soon as they came, the first thing is crying. Ya Abana, oh our father, you know what happened? And each one is trying, choking on his chairs, trying to explain. And he say, just keep quiet, tell me what happened. He said, we went and the wolf grabbed him and this happened and that happened. So Quran showed that they made drama. The purpose of drama was to cover the reality. There was going to be tears. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. And then they even showed the blood. Look at this blood. Because all they had to do was they took a lamb, they slaughtered it, and they put the shirt in the blood of the lamb. They said, it has to look unique. So they said, look at this blood. But what is the purpose of Quran explaining this? Quran explained it for many reasons. One reason for our time, that at that moment those brothers were being spurred by Shaitan to remove Yusuf alayhi salam from the scene. Shaitan's tricks never change. How it was in that era will be till the ending. Indication was made in this ummah also. When Shaitan will want to make, will spur some people in a certain direction, then Shaitan will teach them also the art of drama. That when they will come to prove their point to the world, they will come with drama. So the easiest example we give first is the example of 9-1-1. 9-1-1 was the thing that no mind will ever understand. It can't make sense anyway. But the world accepted it because of drama. It had to show that aeroplane hitting. Otherwise, an aeroplane hitting a tower can happen, but no one will be looking with a camera at that moment. There are so many towers in that city. How did that man know an aeroplane is coming, going to hit a tower? Aeroplanes are flying day and night past, but the drama of that sight, boof, and then the whole building coming. There was drama. So as soon as they put that blood in front of Yaqub alayhi salam, this was the teaching of a Nabi. Yaqub alayhi salam, he looked at the blood, he looked at the tears, and then he said, leave the drama, let's look at the proof. Leave the drama. So he looked at the proof, and he said, this is a shirt which is not torn. So very unique wolf this is. It bit the boy, but it never tore the shirt. That's all. What it was that whenever shaitan will attack you with drama, then you also have to have the eye of a Nabi. That you say, okay, forget the drama, let me look at the story. Leave out the drama. Leave out the sentiments, leave out the tears, leave out the cry, leave out the blood, look at the story. Whoever looked at 911 without the bang and without the smoke, then he would have seen that, you know what, one passport falling from the top of an aeroplane doesn't make sense. That passport which never tore was the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam which was not cut. Say, this is a unique passport. How did it survive? There. That we all know. But why I'm mentioning now is that in the month of Muharram, there's another drama that takes place also. And this is the drama what we call Karbala. Here again, Quran gave indication that if you want to know what happened in Karbala, no problem. But look at Karbala in the eye without any drama. Look at the proof, don't look at the sentiments. You cannot look that on one side was Hussein radiallahu anh and the other side was Yazid, no radiallahu anh. That is sentiments. You can't look who are the two parties. Once you look at that, immediately you're going to reach a wrong decision. You have to say that there is Mr. A and Mr. B. Explaining this, Quran gave another indication. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, he was the judge of the world. At one time he wasn't in his, it wasn't his time of giving judgment. So as an imtihan and to teach Dawood alayhi salam the principles of judgment, two people landed up. It was angels. They were giving him an imtihan and they were giving him ta'aleem. A Nabi is thoughtless. So Dawood alayhi salam was shocked, where you came from? Because you can't just walk in. So the man said, don't worry where we came from, we're not going to harm you. I just want to know one thing quickly. That you know me, I only got one animal. And my brother got 99. And now my one animal, he also wants to take it. And obviously when he would ask it, he would ask it with like that sad face. So Dawood alayhi salam said, that's the problem with all rich people. They can't let the other guy just... So there and there the two angels said, assalamu alaikum. There and there Dawood alayhi salam is looking that something happened. And immediately he falls in sajda. And then verses come, oh Dawood, we have made you our khalifa on earth. So whenever you're going to make a decision in life, make sure everything is first put in place. What wasn't put in place first is, it wasn't the majlis for a decision. You were supposed to tell them, give me time to think about this. And the second thing, you never gave Mr. B a chance to talk. You can't make a decision on Mr. A's story. In the incident of Karbala, we have heard the story. Because we know that on one side is Hussein radiallahu anh and the other side is Yazid Jahannami. So already we decided that you in Jahannam and you in Jannah. Because obviously you will go with a Sahabi, you're not going to go with a non-Sahabi. Especially if it's the grandson of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly what happened on the ground, your mind will never go to it. You will see Karbala in the eyes of how the Shia want you to see. Exactly, you will move with them and say, make sense. But if someone will say, give Yazid a chance to talk, you'll say, no. You won't even listen to your talks. But if Yazid had to talk, he would have asked certain questions. He would have said, my friend, give me a chance. That number one, you know that Hussein radiallahu anh, when he was coming over to Iraq, I wrote a letter to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anh. that tell Hussein radiallahu anh that he must not fall for the traps of the people of Iraq. He mustn't leave Medina. And you know Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anh went and told him also that, oh my brother Hussein, don't fall for the traps of Iraq. So he says, when I wrote that letter and you know about that letter, don't you ever think that why did Yazid write this letter? If he was thirsty for the blood of Hussein radiallahu anh, why is he telling Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anh, make sure he doesn't go to Iraq? Then he would say, second thing that I'm sure you know from the books you heard, that so many Sahaba radiallahu anhum told Hussein radiallahu anh, don't go. Now if I was a drunkard, then why were they telling him don't go? They're supposed to join him in going. And he said, the third thing is, if Hussein radiallahu anhu was really out to destroy me, then I was living in Sham at that time, not in Iraq. So why did he go to Iraq, not to Sham? And then he says, the fourth thing is, if I was really doing wrong, then wouldn't the people of Sham know about it instead of the people of Iraq? That in Sham there were Sahaba, there were Tabi, they would have stopped me. It would have been someone in Iraq who's saying, hey, this guy is doing bad stuff. As soon as he would say that, a man would say, hey, the story doesn't. Day and day now drama was told. Don't fall for drama. So the crux of what happened in Karbala in 2 minutes is hard to give, but I'll just very fast because people will think, what happened in Karbala was nothing. When Hassan radiallahu anh was made Khalifa, he had a choice to either fight against Muawiyah radiallahu anh for the Khilafat or to hand it over. As long as Ali radiallahu anh was Khalifa, Muawiyah radiallahu anh never ever said, I'm the Khalifa. Which the hadith mentioned that for 40 years, it will be Khilafat. Khilafat means a Khalifa will be chosen, everyone will accept it. Then it was told after that there will be Mulukiyat with the mercy of Allah. The hadith mentions Mulukiyat with the mercy of Allah. That was the reign of Muawiyah radiallahu anh. A lot of people have understood it. He was a Muluk, king. And king means a very bad man. The hadith said, Mulukiyat wa rahmah. With the mercy of Allah. Now, Hassan radiallahu anh could have also been that Khalifa who was a Malik. With the mercy of Allah. When Ali radiallahu anh passed away, the people of Sham said, you are Khalifa. Muawiyah radiallahu anh. The people of Iraq and Medina, they said, Hassan radiallahu anh. But now Hassan radiallahu anh understood that time where one Khalifa was chosen has come to an end. Now to be a Khalifa, you will have to fight for it. Because it's the time of Mulukiyat. This was the meaning of Mulukiyat. You will have to fight for the Khilafat, and there's nothing wrong with fighting for the Khilafat. Muawiyah radiallahu anh, when he was given the Khilafat, someone even told him, you know, the hadith mentioned 40 years is Khilafat, after is Mulukiyat. He said, I'm happy whether it came through Khilafat, it came through Mulukiyat, at least the Ummah is saved. Because he knew it's nothing haram to get it by fighting or to get it by selection. So he knew the only reason Hassan radiallahu anh gave it over to me is because he knew I'm going to fight for it. When Hassan radiallahu anh was going to give it over to him, Hussein radiallahu anh, he had the view of Ali radiallahu anh, that the Khilafat must not go to Sham, it must stay here. So Hussein radiallahu anh at that time already told Hassan radiallahu anh that I'm not happy you giving it over. And Hassan radiallahu anh had heard Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that because of this grandson, years and years of infighting, which are created by hypocrites, will come to an end. So he handed it over and suddenly all the infighting came to an end. 20 years after that, the Ummah saw no problems. But obviously the hypocrites were going to wait now. As soon as Muawiyah radiallahu anh was reaching the end of his life, hypocrites now and then would write letters to Hassan radiallahu anh also, always complaining about Muawiyah radiallahu anh. That we know you made him the Khalifa, but you know he does this, he does this. And the narration comes in history you hardly find narrations with what they call sanadun sahihun. But the ones that come with the sahih sanad, for some reason they don't land up in the books of history. Those are the ones that are, so this is one with a sahih sanad. That Hassan radiallahu anh is making wuzu, and some letters come to him. So he tells his slave girl, take these letters and put it in water until all the ink comes out, all the ink. So the khadim who is there says, what is this issue? So he says, you know, the people of Iraq from the beginning are eating my head up. Every now and then they write letters complaining about Muawiyah. And they're asking me to stand up again and fight for the Khilafat. Where is it? He says, I know those liars. I got tajruba with them from the beginning. So then the khadim was going to ask the second question, that if you know it's a lie, then what so much of emphasis to take out the ink? So he said, I will never fall for these lies. I already was in Iraq. I saw these liars. He said, but I'm so scared one day these letters might get the sentiments of my brother. And if my brother sees it, he might, because he never saw what I saw in Iraq. Hassan radiallahu anhu was in Iraq. He left finally. He said, you people are the biggest of liars. You know, speaking to that jamaat who were hypocrites. So at the beginning he showed what was it that Hussein radiallahu anhu, he understood. The day when he'll get the chance, he will fight for the khilafah. That's all. Look at the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhu for the ahadith. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as soon as you put your hand in the hand of a khalifa, don't take it out. So when Hassan radiallahu anhu was martyred, and he was poisoned by the same hypocrites, nobody else poisoned him, they needed him out. Immediately the letters started coming to Hussein radiallahu anhu. Yazid was not alive, what you call khalifa at that time. This was happening before already. Those people wanted the fights to start again. And they knew Hussein radiallahu anhu, he is interested in fighting for the Khilafat. And there's no problem with fighting for the Khilafat. Had they been calling him to fight for the Khilafat and they joined him, there would be nothing wrong. We would have said Iraq and Sham fought for the Khilafat both in Jannah. But they were not calling him for that. They had some other motive. They had the motive of 911. That innocent blood is needed to fund a project that's going to come in the future. That's all. Innocent blood. They needed the blood of the grandson of Rasulullah so that the whole ummah will unite against the Khilafat. Because up till that time, no one had ever heard in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the ummah fights against the Khilafat. The ummah fights for the Khilafat. They needed the whole ummah to become badzan with the Khilafat. And now only way you're going to get it is with blood. So they were not going to join Hussein radiallahu anhu. They were calling him to make him murdered. And then to spread a story, you saw how he was murdered. Who murdered him? Yazid murdered him. And because at that time there was no investigators except hypocrites, the story would spread. Everything in Karbala which we normally read, look in the books of history, you will find the opposite narration also comes. And you will understand it's all lies. Lot of lies, and the truth is hidden somewhere. Lot of lies. So Hussein radiallahu anhu, look at his azmat for the ahadith, but when they wrote to him on the death of Hassan radiallahu anhu, that you know in Iraq there's a unique army ready to join you. Come over immediately. He writes back and he says, a man who has put his hand in the hand of another, it is not befitting that man to now pull his hand away. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't do it. Look at that. He even wrote that I am also worried if in front of Allah, if Allah has to ask my brother, why did you give it over? Then my brother will say, I saw the benefit of the ummah in it and Allah will reward him. But it says, for my side, I feel that Almighty Allah might ask me, why didn't you make jihad and fight for the Khilafat? And it says, at the moment, however, because my hand is in that hand, I can't break it, but I don't know if Allah has to ask, what answer will I give? It was an issue of ijtihad, that's why. And nothing big about it. It was the same war with Aisha radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anha. Both of them went out for a purpose and they came back with a purpose. Many passed away, both were in Jannah. In between they were hypocrites. The issue of Hussein radiallahu anhu had nothing to do with drama. Nothing. It was a man who felt that if I got an army, so he wanted to make sure in Iraq, are you really true to your word? So as long as Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, he said that my hand is already stuck in his hand. But he said, if Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passes away, I will not take bayat to somebody else. At that time, if you people write to me that you're ready to fight for the Khilafat, by all means. And there's nothing wrong fighting for it. And as soon as Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, that was the issue. All the letters that came, not a single letter would write, Yazid is a drunkard, Yazid is an adult. So that story came later on in life. After Yazid passed away also. At that time it was that we are in Iraq, even Nu'man bin Bashir, who's the Sahabi, we have broken completely for him. We got nothing to do with him, we won't even perform salah behind him. We got no leader. The whole Iraq has united behind you. We're waiting for you. We got no leader. That is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they heard Hussein radiallahu anhu going, they asked him that no problem, fighting for the Khilafat. But are you sure the people of Iraq are really going to join you? Because they did the same thing to your father, they did it to your brother. I think it's a lie. Many Sahaba told him, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, or Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, most likely. One of the two, they told him a different strategy. They said, why don't you write to the people of Iraq that you all bring your armies to the foot of Medina. And then I'll join you from here and we'll go to Sham. Why must you go there? Let them come, then we'll see it. When I see it, I'll say they're speaking the truth. The only reason Hussein radiallahu anhu never then go himself, and he sent his cousin Muslim bin Aqil, was for the same reason. That he writes to the people of Iraq because of different people's consultation. I am sending my cousin to you people to find out, are you all really truthful that you all want to make bayat to me, or you all liars? That's all. And when Muslim bin Aqil reached there, then those hypocrites arranged it. They took him into a house and they told him, we have to do things in secrecy because the government mustn't know, no one knows about it. And in that house, Muslim bin Aqil will narrate over 12,000 to 18,000 within those few days were coming. Telling him, we with you, we with you, with you. So when he sees so many, automatically you'll think the whole Iraq. So he writes that letter. And that was the letter that brought Hussein radiallahu anhu. After that, within a few days, Muslim bin Aqil realized it's all a lie. When he realized the lie, he wrote the second letter to Hussein radiallahu anhu. That entire 12,000 to 18,000, they disappeared in Taniyah. They all liars, not one of them is with you. For some reason they're bringing you here, you caught in a trap, don't come. Yazid had nothing knowing what's happening. So you are somewhere else. Like how we will say, Mullah Muhammad Umar never knew what's happening in 911. But in the end of the day, when they had to make the war, they would ensure that Mullah Muhammad Umar makes a statement. They would push the statement. The statement would be that we can't give over a man called an innocent man. That one statement of his was sufficient, war starts. But if anyone had to look at it, he'll say that obviously he had to say that. Yazid, the only thing that happened to Yazid was an obvious action. That if you are the Khalifa, and you hear that in Iraq a stand is taking place against you, then automatically a Khalifa will tell his governor, you better go quickly to Iraq and make sure that no one stands against the government, because there's going to be infighting again. What Yazid did, if anyone thinks about it, would say it makes sense. You couldn't expect the man to sit there and say, no, never mind. Since he is Hussein radiallahu anhu, I'll let the army join him. They'll stand up against the Muslim Ummah. There will be infighting. And everyone will tell me, what did you do? He'll say, you know what, it's Hussein in the end of the day. Automatically you will tell that don't let Hussein radiallahu anhu reach Iraq. That's all he did. And when he wrote the letter, he also wrote, I do not want you to attack him as long as he doesn't start fighting first. Do not make any decision without my command. Never ever did he say kill the man. Did he say murder the man? Later on he would say, I don't know why he had to kill the man. So that was all that Yazid. Yazid had nothing to do with it. And that is why when we write nowadays, I even write Yazid bin Muawiyah. And the law is that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi. So a Sahabi next to his name you can put radiallahu anhu. So if you write Yazid ibn Muawiyah, then do you put radiallahu anhu or not? You will put the radiallahu anhu. But another man will say radiallahu anhu can't go with Yazid. So we ask why? That are you really sure that man did what you think he did? That you can curse him and you can call him an adulterer and a zani? Or is it that this you just saw in the books of history? And you moved and you said if that Usama bin Laden did this here, then he did it. But are you really sure the man did it? You'll never know. So this was where Quran gave an example. That drama, don't fall for drama. That sometimes look at the incidents without the blood. And without the personalities and without the cry of Ahle Bayt and revenge for the Ahle Bayt. At the ending, whatever happened, it was taqdeer. And that is why Rasulullah ﷺ cried in dreams also. Otherwise, many other Sahaba radiallahu anhu also passed away. But Nabi ﷺ never come in a person's dream and cried. He cried on the death of Hussein radiallahu anhu, not because he was martyred, but because his blood was going to be used to create chaos in the Ummah. And that chaos happened after that. That entire Khilafah did come down. Everyone was confused. They had never seen a Khilafah. Then the new Khilafah that came created more chaos also. More bloodshed. But Allah's hand is on the Ummah. And what Shaitan thought he was going to get out of that blood, just before realizing it, Almighty Allah saved the Ummah. And it never happened. That's why the Ummah is still moving. We never saw what their intention was. Like if someone says 911 had a mission, That within 10 years there will be no Islam left. That's what was going to happen, isn't it? After 9/11, every way Islam was banned practically. The armies fell on every country. But Allah's hand is on the ummah, and suddenly what they thought will happen in 3 years never happened. Which later on they will say it was a failure. It rather created more Islam in the world. The Karbala issue was supposed to reach, and it did manage. It brought the Khilafah down. 80 years later. It took 80 years, but it brought it down. And when it brought it down, a lot of bloodshed took place. A lot of good people died. A lot of fitna was brought into the ummah. A lot of things happened, but Allah's hand on. And suddenly the ummah carries on. Today's time, the only reason Karbala is mentioned year after year is we might not understand it, but in Karbala there's a message that's given to the world. That you know, on that sad day, there was only one man whose name was Hussein, who was ready to stand for the truth, which means at that moment, the rest of the ummah betrayed the ummah. So a lot of times when our people will narrate Karbala, will hear Karbala, then that sentence we don't understand. Because they will be openly saying it, that see, the people of Iraq who were the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, from who you got your fiqh, they never go to help Hussein radiallahu anhu. The people of Sham never go to help him. The people of Makkah Mukarrama, the people of Medina Muno, nobody went. And that's what we're saying from the beginning, that after the death of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everyone became betrayers of Islam. So that is why Karbala is repeated year after sentiments. When the man hears Karbala, automatically you become badzan, that where were the rest of the ummah? But Karbala, the way it's taught today, is drama. So Surah Yusuf said, there's no drama in deen. So Yaqub alayhi salam said, where's the proof? And he saw the proof, he said, this is a unique story. This doesn't make sense. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَمْرًا. You people are making up stories. So that was a lesson that Surah Yusuf gave also, that whenever incidents are mentioned, always forget the drama first. Could be about Karbala, about our own family issues also. When something happens, forget the drama first. And just put your mind right and say, okay, let's listen to it again. And a lot of times when you listen to it again, I saw sometimes nowadays when letters come out on the phone, because nowadays on the phone you can write anything and it goes so fast. But because something is in someone's mind, and that thing letter, you don't have time to research it. That thing you read so fast and you read in such a small screen that you don't even know properly what's being said. So when man got something in his mind and he reads that, immediately he says, hey, this means that. Whereas sometimes the writer never intended it. This man will then forward it to Mr. Tu and say, see what he said on this line. That man will only look at the line, he won't even look at the paper. And suddenly a whole issue comes. When it comes back to the writer says, I never meant that. That's one, that don't worry about the drama. When someone comes and tells you what, then don't jump. At that moment you'll have to be like Yaqub alayhi salam. And say, put the proof. And when you look at it, then Quran will give guidance. That firstly, if the person who brings the news to you is someone who never saw the thing, then don't jump. And if he's a person who likes to narrate stories, then Quran mentioned, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقُمْ بِنَبَئٍ. Whether he's a fasiq or a man who doesn't always check up properly, then Quran said, you make sure you first check up. Don't just fall on some other innocent person. Check it up. And if you haven't got time to check up, then Quran gave another indication. That Quran said, that is it not the right of a Muslim that he must always think good of another Muslim? That's the lesson Quran gave. That what is wrong with the Muslims? That when something is said about your own Muslim brother or sister, then instead of thinking good, you say, my brother, he can't do it. You say, no, he did it. Quran said, you can't carry on that. When the story comes, you must be the opposite. It can't happen. Aisha radiallahu anha was accused of zina. At that time, this lesson was given. But look at propaganda. At that time, there were those Sahaba radiallahu anha who couldn't say it on their tongue. But the propaganda was so strong, they also fell for it. Although the mind would say, how could she have ever made zina? Propaganda. If propaganda could make the people of that era understand that she did it, then obviously propaganda can make anyone in any era understand he did it. So Quran gave a message after that, don't fall for propaganda. And if even that you can't do, then Nabi Muhammad gave another directive, لَا تَصُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتِ. And the man who died, you don't go jump on him. He already reached his akhirah. If he was good, he's good. If he was bad, he's bad. Got nothing to do with you. But why you must make your comments? Because it might not be your comment is correct. So guidance of Quran, that you worry of yourself. So whenever drama happens, don't jump. That then say, if Quran said, forget the drama. Think a little bit. And if you can't make a decision, then you say, you know what, I haven't been created for this. Hassan Basri, Rahimullah, they came to ask him, they told him, you were there when all these fitnas were happening. The battle of Jamal. So he gave an answer, he said, you see, although we were born in that era, but we were not present in the war. So he said, we were absent, they were present. They saw, we never saw. So what really happened on that day, they know, I don't know. But we'll never give that answer. We say, no, I know it. And everyone will give his 5 cents. The Quran gave that, don't jump. If you don't know, just say, I don't know. And propaganda won't spread. Allah granted, whatever I mentioned, there's some benefit or the other. May Allah tabarakullah bless us all with His love, with His ma'rifat, that prick of muhabbat. May Allah tabarakullah grant us all. Wa akhiru da'wana.